Come to God in prayer, shall we? Father God, we sing that chorus to you, turn our eyes. Lord, our focus needs to be on you. And this morning, God, as we have worshipped you, as we've sung carols to you, as we've exalted you, as we've praised you, Father, we want to focus completely on you. Even God, as we come to you in prayer, our focus is on you. We don't want to take our focus off of you. God, that's how we want to be as servants. That's how we want to be throughout each and every day of our life. Moment by moment, we want to focus on you. And Lord, as we come as a family, as a church family, we pray, God, for those health needs. And there are many, God. We know, God, that each circumstance, you know what's happening. You know what's occurring in each family's heart, as well as those who are even not feeling 100%. God, we think and lift up all those who are just struggling through this week. And God, we know that even as you look upon us as your people, you care about us enough because you even have the hairs in our head numbered. And God, we know that you care about us. And so, Lord, we lift up those health needs as a family. And we think of Nathan and Seaver and Doug and Lori and Connie and Judy and Julie and Taylor and Megan. And Lord, we know that in each situation, that you are a God who understands each need. And so we pray, God, for your will to be done. And Father, we pray for those family members who are caring for these loved ones. Father, give them strength. We pray for those, Lord, who couldn't be here with us this morning. And we think of Mary Warkentine and Annette Kreider. And God, we pray for them that they would be encouraged today. We think of those, Lord, who are grieving and who are hurting, and we think of the Pease family and the Canton families and even the Voles family, God, who is suffering the loss of Doris's cousin. And God, we just pray right now for them. We lift each of them to you and pray, God, that in each situation you would make yourself real as a comforting presence to each of the family members. God, we continue to pray for those who are affected by Weyerhaeuser, and Lord, we know that Christmas is approaching, and we just pray for those who are, Lord, unsettled right now. We pray that you would give them your peace, and we pray for Lord, us as a church, as we continue to move in the direction that you've called us to, God. We just pray that we would walk in obedience to you, and that we would surrender completely to you, so that we would know the direction that you have for us as a church. Father, thank you that we can come together. Thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that we can praise you. We don't take that stuff for granted, God. We just love you, and we want to focus on you, and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, it's good to be back up here. I actually got after Christine because she made me cry. Pastor Christine, I was bawling over there, sitting over there watching. You know, she was telling her story and telling the vision of and passion and of the ministry there. And I told her, I said, that's it. I'm out of a job. You're not preaching ever again. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just joking. Don't take me seriously. I'll get letters on that. Has something ever creeped up on you and you haven't noticed until boom, it hits you? How many of you? You know, you just go, wow, I can't believe it. Really, seriously, surprise. We turn around and this is the first Sunday of Advent. Did you know that? Somebody slipped this in somewhere. That's how we like. Is it really Christmas already? I mean, has that ever happened to you where you're just kind of stumbling along and then all of a sudden you realize it's December 24th and you better buy your wife something? Huh? Ever happened? Well, I got to tell you, there is this music pastor taking the church choir on a Christmas singing tour, and they were traveling around, and they were so pleased to be doing this, and to honored actually, and so the very first day, this pastor liked this. He found himself dealing with a number of crises. You know, sometimes I think pastors cause their own crises. But here he is. First of all, the bus that transported the group to the airport broke down, and they were in danger of missing their flight. And when they finally arrived at the airport, they discovered the plane had been delayed for mechanical reasons, and they'd have a three-hour wait. I know what that feels like. And then they landed, and they had to deal with the mix-up in reservations at the hotel, and as a result, the group had little time to rest before the tour began, and everybody was almost in a state of panic. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but then about midway through the day's activities, to the pastor's horror, he saw one of the women in his group laying flat on her back on the sidewalk. And this crowd appears, like, just out of it. That happens. You try it sometime, lay on the sidewalk. And this crowd appears and gathered around her, and this pastor said, oh, something happened. Heart attack. What? What's going on? He knelt beside her, and he took her hand in his, and he's, it's okay. The ambulance will be here soon. Don't worry. It's okay. And he was in a panic. I mean, this is a long day. And he said, can you tell me what's wrong? And she opened her eyes. She said, I'm tired. And some of you today, you're here, and you are certainly cannot even think of Christmas, because some of you would rather sleep because you're tired. Huh? How many of you are tired? Yeah, and we're going into Christmas. How many of you are tired of me saying Christmas? Okay, don't put your hands up. The message of Advent calls us to wait. Okay, that was long enough. And we're called to a new awareness of the reason for the Advent season. Watch and wait. Christian life should be a life of surprise. Is it Christmas already? We shouldn't even be asking that question, though. Let me answer this for you. It's always Christmas. We should always be celebrative. But how? I mean, how, Pastor, you don't understand. How can I find time to be celebrative? How can I find time to be joyful? I think this is where we miss it. We miss really what Christmas is all about. Why is that? Possibly it's because we're tired. Possibly it's because we've forgotten really what Christmas really is. Maybe we just need today to watch and wait so that we know what Christmas is. I'm going to tell you, I know what Christmas is. I'm going to tell you what Christmas is. No, Christmas is, first of all, the name Jesus. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, I love this passage because it's about a dad who's expecting the arrival of his son. And man, that was me. I can relate to it very clearly. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, turn in your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 1. And I want to start at verse 18 because I want you to see this here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to start reading. So bear with me. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph was troubled. And I can relate. I remember when my son Nathan was born. Don't you dare turn off that sound system, Nathan. I remember when, that's my son, if you're wondering who's working the sound, it's him. But I remember when my... Did he turn me off? He turned me off. Don't you dare encourage him. You get more laughs than I do. What is this? Where was I now? Is it? talking about something. Nathan was born. Yeah. I remember that day now. Nathan was born, and it was just an exciting time because we lived in Assiniboia at the time, and we had to travel to Moose Jaw by ambulance. Joan did. I drove in the car behind him. And I remember walking in to the hospital, and I remember they just automatically, Joan's gone. Like, whoo, they wheeled her off somewhere. And this nurse comes to greet me, and she goes, "Here, put all this gown, slippers, and here's the hat for you, put the hat on." Put it. Very, very nice, very pleasant lady. And so I put this hat on, I get the slippers, and she said, "Okay, gloves, here's the gloves, put these gloves on." So I put, And then she said, "Here, cover that face, So I put this thing over my face, over my head, it's a good thing. Anyway, so I go walking in to she said, "Come with me, follow me." So I come in and I'm in this delivery room. That's what they call it when you have a baby, by the way, delivery room. So I get to go in this place. And I'm not really a hospital fan, especially operating rooms. So anyway, I come in and Joan's like, "Ah!" No, actually she wasn't. That was more me. She was more, And I go walking in and I'm, go up by her head there and coach her. And I said, "Okay, all right, I'll do this." So I go to, and I got this mask on. And I said, "Hey, hon." She went, "Ah!" Anyway, it's okay, breathe. Have you ever done that? You actually pass out yourself. And then all of a sudden, there's me, and there's the nurse, all right? And then there's Joan, and Joan's there, and the nurse, and then the nurse goes, "Oh, the baby's coming. I'll be right back." And out she goes. At that moment, I wanted the rapture. Because I looked at her and she goes, "Oh, another one. No, hon. No, not another one. No, hold on. It's okay. Nobody's here. It's just me. Ah, no, I can't. Shh. No, it's okay. Oh, hold off. I was troubled. Joseph was troubled. Have you ever been in a situation where you're troubled? You think of it. You think of Joseph. His fiance, Mary, comes and tells him, "By the way, I want you to know I'm pregnant with God's son." Now, what would you think? How would you respond? I mean, I think I would, well, come on. I've heard some good ones, Mary, but pregnant by God himself? You're going to give birth to the long-awaited Messiah? Right. Why you, Mary? Now, Joseph, he was deeply disturbed. Man, I kind of know what that's like, standing in that delivery room. I was disturbed. Who's going to deliver this kid? And he loved Mary. He was planning to marry her. What a surprise. By the way, I want you to know that my son Nathan was born. Did you know that? That first Christmas was full of surprises. We often find Christmas a surprise just like Joseph. We think of ways to excuse ourselves from the Christmas celebration. Let me tell you something. You cannot have Christmas without Jesus. You cannot have Christmas without Jesus. You just can't. It just can't. Many pretend it can happen. Even Christians do. Let me tell you. It's almost insulting to say we're Christians anymore by the way we don't act. Not so much the way we act, but the way we don't act. I think somehow we've moved away from the word Jesus. We've forgotten the most powerful meaning for the world. How do I know this? Simple. We know the power of the name Jesus. Yet we're almost selfish with it. We fear sharing such great knowledge with others. I don't know. I'm probably babbling too much. I do that. I tend to do that. I'm reminded of that frequently by the staff and my children. It's like Erwin McManus said to us while we were in Toronto. He said his mother church was healthy enough and started a new church plant. Are you listening? You hearing this? The new church, the church plant, it grew to be 300. Isn't that amazing? A matter of just a short period of time, a couple months, they had 300 people come to church. Wow! Isn't that incredible? So Irwin shut it down. He closed the doors. Got up one Sunday morning and said, this is the last time we're going to be together in church, because most of you are Christians. Whoa. I couldn't believe I was hearing. He said this. He said, it was simply 300 Christians from other churches coming together. We didn't reach anyone for Christ. We wanted a place where non-church people could hear the name of Jesus. Wow. But what do you do then when they become a Christian? I didn't want to ask him that, but you know. What a powerful name though, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will, every tongue confess. Right, the name Jesus. This is what Matthew records in verse 21. I've been trying to figure out why we cannot get this word out there. And possibly this BC cartoon can help. Put it up there, son. Okay, look at it. It's got a mask on it. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name, you know the name? Jesus, yeah. Okay, go on. Yeah. The midnight skulker strikes again. Wait a minute. I'm the midnight skulker. See, go ahead. Climbs in. It's the reason for the season. Right. You is the reason for the season? Many times. Don't get upset. But many times, this is what we think Christmas is. Me. I'm the reason for this season. It's all about me. You is the reason for this. No. We got to look at the whole word. Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm not saying that you should walk around going, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, have you heard about Jesus? Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you should be offensive with the word Jesus. But I'm saying that the Christmas is the most wonderful time of year to spread that word Jesus and get away with it. Because people want to celebrate the reason for the season. They do. Hand out the greatest reason for the season. Give the word Jesus Christ to people. Listen for a moment. Are you here? Are you with me? Hear what Jesus means. I get excited about that. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's soon to be released. And the folk of Narnia, before the coming of Aslan, which is the Christ figure in the story, okay? Aslan hasn't come yet, all right? So the people, the folk of Narnia, they're gracefully lamenting these words. It is always winter, but never Christmas. It's always winter, but never Christmas. I would say for some that there is no Christmas, only winter. They wait to hear that name that is above every name, the name Jesus. Yet we may be great at saying it. We may even be wonderful at proclamating the event. But how do we show Christmas to those who don't know what Christmas is all about? Well, we do the Christmas hampers. I mean, we do that. But we also need to come together. We trim the tree together. Isn't that great? The church tree coming up December. Okay, you guys read your bulletin while I'm preaching. I can see that now. But December 17th, we can invite someone along and we can show them what it means to be a church family as we have this tree that we can come and we can decorate together. We can pray for one another. That's what we do. We can call someone who needs a bit of cheer. We can come alongside a hurting individual. We can cry with others. We can laugh with other people. We can demonstrate to the hurting what compassion is. That's the Christmas people need to see all year long. the change that has taken place right here in our heart. And that's, but too often we're like the Narnia folk. It's always winter, but never Christmas. When Joseph heard the angelic announcement, what joy occurred in his heart. Oh, this child Jesus was not the outcome of the fruit of sin. Rather, he was to be the great deliverer of sin. Every time anyone called his name, they would be reminded that Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. When you speak his name, you speak Jehovah is salvation. May we speak his name this Christmas. As the angel spoke to Joseph, verse 20, do not be afraid. The greatest and the simplest action gives reason for this season. Bake some extra cookies. Make your neighbor a bowl of chili. I don't know. Do something because of the word. Demonstrate what Christmas is to you. Well, know what Christmas is. No Christmas is the name Jesus. But Christmas is also the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. See, events have a way of coming upon us quickly. And Joseph knows this all too well. I mean, the event was not unheard of. In fact, the name Emmanuel was not an unheard name. It was a prophesied name. Isaiah 7:14, you put it up there. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. This was not something new. This was something that was told. And if you look in this passage, after verse 22 here, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now for us, names are usually, typically associated with means of identification. But for the Jews, names were descriptions of character or designated some human event. Emmanuel means God is with us. You know, talk about the Trinity right here. This demonstrates the prevalent life, transforming power of God. God became man. Perhaps the greatest of all miracles. We talk about miracles, you know, we read about miracles of the lame walk, the blind can see. But this was the greatest of all miracles. Christmas is not about a gift given, so much about a God who came to live among us. See, God is no longer some far off being in the heavens. God is here now, living among us, living within us. That's why Christmas should not be a surprise to us. Christmas is always here, always now. Every day we breathe in the Christmas event all year. Now, the world packages it differently, and so we're sold on that package, but even the Christian marketplace does it. I received an email from our executive minister of the Baptist Union this week, and he spoke specifically saying this: every year, the start of the Christmas season seems to begin earlier and earlier. Harrods, that upscale doyen of world-class department stores in London, England, began selling Christmas decorations in early July. Wow. This earnest head start is even more interesting when you realize Harrods owners are Muslim. Costco in North America begins the retail rush shortly afterwards, with others following suit between Labor Day and Thanksgiving. I don't blame retailers, he says. Many of those they sell to so early in the season are well-meaning believers trying to beat an artificially created Christmas rush. Whoa. This is what he says. No one takes Christmas away from me. If anything, I give Christmas away when I don't prepare for it in reading and prayer. It says, I sacrifice to the business of a season. It is my own responsibility to take Christmas back from the retail clutter and return it to its rightful place of worship, relationship, and preparation for the coming of Jesus into the world. Isn't that great? That's what Christmas is. Too often, we forget this at Christmas. It's like this family circus cartoon. Let's see. Look at this. Don't forget wrapping paper. Yeah, you guys, you probably got it. Good stock of that. Go ahead. Don't forget tree lights, tinsel. Yeah, we got all that stuff. We're set. Don't forget visit Santa. Yeah, I sat on his knee yesterday. Don't forget the last minute gifts. Oh, this must be December 24th for me. Lastly, Billy goes home and pens it down. Don't forget who he is. We often forget who he is at Christmas. The story is told of two women. They were enjoying an elaborate luncheon in a downtown restaurant, and when asked the occasion, somebody came along, knew the one lady, and she said, "Hey, what's the occasion? This elaborate lunch? Oh, we're celebrating her baby's birthday." Fantastic. Wow. Choir kind of looked around, and there wasn't a baby in sight. Well, where's the baby? The mother said, "Oh, you didn't think I'd bring him, did you? He doesn't know anything about it." Many of us celebrate Christmas the very same way. In our midst, in a rush of observing Christmas with giving and eating, do we really stop to meditate upon the Christ child who should be the center of it all? We've just walked through the Old Testament giants, and we've learned so much from them, but the parting of the waters of the Red Sea, or the raining down fire on Mount Carmel, seems so insignificant to this miracle that God is with us. To believe that the God of creation, the ruler of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing God of heaven and earth has taken on the form of a baby is staggering. You talk about surprise! Surprise! This is exactly what's intended in the celebration term Christmas. For the name Emmanuel, we see God is with us. That's the Christmas season. That's how we are to spend time worshiping, returning to our first love, Emmanuel. Waiting. Basking in his presence. And when you do that, you know his peace. Hey, take the time from busy gift buying and tree trimming to spend time celebrating the greatest event in history. Listen to CDs of worship. Take this Christmas event to read it through the book of Matthew in the Bible and pray as a family around your dinner table for the peace of God to protect your family. Share the word with someone. Remind yourself daily, God is with me. In fact, say it with me. God is with me. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Jeffrey Bowles spoke in his book, "When Iron Gates Yield," about spending Christmas Eve in a Tibetan inn and on a route to a communist camp. And as he walked into the stable to feed the horses and the mules, he wrote down these words. He said, "My boots squashed in the manure and the straw. The horrible smell of the animals was nauseating." And he said, "To think Christ came all the way from heaven to some wretched Eastern stable. And what is more, he came for me." Sometimes we get caught in the trap of Christmas, like in July, that we almost become dull to it. Sometimes we get caught in the trimmings and the splendor that we forget what it's all about. And then very soon, boom, Christmas is upon us once again. And much like Joseph and similar to Mary, Christmas becomes a complete surprise. And we almost lament, "Oh, is it Christmas already?" Let's pray. While our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to remind you where Pastor Christine took us last Sunday. And she took us to a threefold prayer. Said, "Lord, open a door. Lord, open their heart. And Lord, open my mouth." Today I want to take you to another prayer. "Lord, help me not be afraid. Help me not be afraid, God. Help me not be afraid of Christmas. Help me not be afraid of the event. Help me not be afraid of showing kindness. Help me not be afraid of baking extra cookies for my neighbor. Help me not be afraid to say the name Jesus Christ anymore. Help me not be afraid. Help me not be afraid. So we come to God this morning, and maybe that's what you're crying out to him. Lord, help me not be afraid. If you're saying that, just lift your hand, and it'll further underline what you're saying to him. Help me not be afraid, Lord. Yes, Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees those hands. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've realized that God is with us. You know that you need to ask Jesus into your heart. You've heard that said before, ask Jesus in my heart. You don't maybe even understand what that means. I'm going to ask you today, if you're searching for something real, it's Jesus Christ. And today, your journey can not end, but just begin by simply saying to Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, I want you to forgive me where I failed you. I give you my life today. I want to be a Christian. That's what I want to be. I want to be guaranteed a spot in heaven. I want you to call me your child. I want to be your child, Lord. I want to be your child. I want to be your child, and I want to exalt you in heaven. Just come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. I give you my life today. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're coming to him that way, to God that way, and saying, Lord, I just need you. I give you my life today. Just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you call us to wait. On so many occasions, you've called us to watch and to wait. Like you proclaimed to even Joseph through the angel, just don't be afraid, just wait. God, as you in the garden, Lord, you sat there and you came to your disciples and you said, can you not wait with me? Oh, Lord, as we wait, an expectancy of you to come. We want to proclaim you. We want to exalt you. We want to love you. All over again. We want to love you. Thank you for loving us, God. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. And we just pray your blessing upon us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.